fighting for America.
One of the things that I think is key to being a principal is just having that mindset, is knowing that you don't know everything and that you really need to rely on your team. There's always an opportunity to learn.
Fighting for Idaho.
Wherever I end up next year, I will look back on my high school experience and be really satisfied and be really happy that I took advantage of the opportunities that there were.
Fighting for you.
It's great to see you as always. Thanks. Welcome back. It's wonderful to have you here. Thanks for choosing us in your promoter of school, secure our future promotion you do every year.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Just to let you know, I'm trying to get some maximum efficiency here.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436. We'll be at Boise High. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union. Joining us now, Mark Corian from the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
So, did we have a good day last week when we're talking about keeping America safe?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, and I'm saying this not in a partisan sense, because my think tank, you know, basically is hated equally by Republicans and Democrats, but clearly this was a rebuke by the public of Obama's policies broadly, including immigration. It wasn't just that. Obviously, Obamacare and other things factored in there, but immigration was a key reason the Democrats got their heads handed to them. I mean, you know, every Democrat who incumbent in the Senate who lost voted for the Gang of Eight amnesty bill, and almost all the Republicans who won ran on strong immigration positions. The only one who's pretty weak on immigration is Cory Gardner in Colorado, but he never even ran on it. He never mentioned immigration, avoided it as much as he possibly could, you know, in both ways. And so, anyway, the answer is yes, clearly. Oh, and the other thing that was good news from last week was the only ballot question that dealt with immigration was from Oregon, and it was about driver's licenses for illegal aliens, and it was annihilated. It was defeated at the polls 2-1. More people voted against driver's licenses for illegal aliens than voted for or against any candidate or ballot question. And this is Oregon, which is not only just Democratic-oriented in general, but the electorate that reelected their governor, liberal Democrat governor for the fourth term, same electorate, legalized marijuana. They also voted 2-1 against driver's licenses for illegal aliens.
It seems the people have spoken in a bipartisan sort of way. On the other hand, does that guarantee that once these folks are elected, we'll maintain their word?
Well, that's always the problem, obviously, because once the election is over, then the interest of corporate lobbyists who want cheap labor, the ethnic chauvinist lobbyists who want more warm bodies to pretend to speak for, the ACLU folks who just reject American sovereignty, period, they get to work. Because for them, it's not just one day a year. For them, it's a full-time job to push their goals. So that, you know, the fact is that citizens can't just figure they did their job last Tuesday and, you know, it's all set now, because a lot of these lawmakers really are committed, but a lot of them, frankly, are, you know, finger in the wind bowls of jello that will go whichever way there's more pressure. And, you know, the election results clearly taught a lesson to a lot of politicians on the immigration issue. But if the Chamber of Commerce folks and the ACLU and the unions and La Raza and the rest of them badger them incessantly every day, every hour of every day, after that, you know, they're likely to cave in. So the point is, it's good news, but I'm only cautiously optimistic.
Well, let me give you the simple question from the simpleton here, Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. If people voted for these folks to say no to amnesty, if the majority of the American citizens say we want the border secured, we want a moratorium on illegal and legal immigration, why are their elected representatives, Mark, not listening to them?
Well, because like I mentioned, this is a problem in a lot of different areas of politics where there's a broad public sentiment in one direction. But that broad public sentiment comes from people who have, you know, other things to do when they get up in the morning. They've got jobs, they've got other concerns, there's a lot of things that they're involved with. Whereas the other side of the debate has a handful of people whose full-time job it is to push their point of view. An intensity of opinion, an intensity of activity is what matters. The reason immigration's different, though, is that on a lot of other issues, you've got competing groups of lobbyists and pressure groups. You know, whatever kind of issue it is, environmentalism or which airplane the Air Force should buy, all of those kind of questions have two sides, both of them well-funded, and they have a handful of people that fight it out in Congress. And then the public, you know, sort of has a broad perspective, maybe one way or the other, and weighs in. But the point is, there are people in the arena on both sides. On the immigration issue, the public sentiment is overwhelmingly in one direction, but everybody whose full-time job it is to lobby on immigration policy, almost everybody, is on the other side. The labor unions, the corporate interests, the ethnic chauvinists, the anti-Americans, they're all pushing in the same direction. And that's why this is such a difficult issue, because it's not really a right-left issue. It's an up-down issue. It's elites versus the views of the public.
How does that impact, you know, it's great that you've spelled it out for us, Mark, here at 580KIDO. How does that impact, again, the average folks when we're talking about the cost of illegal immigration? Does it impact schools? Does it impact medical? Because people, like you said, they kind of, election's over, heck, they're going back to their daily life.
It affects all kinds of things. The problem is often the effect is kind of spread out, so it doesn't always get enough people's attention. The first place you see, excessive numbers of low-skilled immigration affecting people is in jobs. The fact is we have had a loose labor market. In other words, wages aren't going up, where employers are kind of in the driver's seat and can pick and choose who they hire. We've had that situation ever since this immigration wave really picked up, and it's not a coincidence. It's not the only reason. Immigration is not the only reason wages have been stagnant for 30 years, especially at the low levels of the education spread. In fact, for high school dropouts, wages have been going down, and that's precisely the place where immigration is most disproportionately adding to the labor market. So first place you see is in jobs. On the other hand, it's never quite as simple as, okay, here's the immigrant, you're fired. In other words, it's often not that simple. It has an enormous economic effect, but people don't see it right away. You do see it more in schools. You see it more in welfare offices, hospital emergency rooms. You see it in the criminal justice system disproportionately. So the effects are, you know, all over. But what happens is that, you know, a small group of people in a particular place will get rightly exercised about it, and then nothing will happen, and they've got lives they have to move on to, and the elite ends up getting its way over and over and over again.
Mark Kerkorian with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO from the Center for Immigration Studies. The schools are a troubling issue because we can't fund them here in Idaho. We can't fund them anywhere else, and yet, if you ask people for their identification, if you want to go from Meridian to Nampa, you have to provide it, but if you're here illegally, there's no way that you can tell whether these kids are legal or not. And quite frankly, it, as you've said, runs up the cost.
Yeah, and you see that in a lot of places. In schools, there's really nothing you can do about it because the Supreme Court has ruled that until Congress decides otherwise, local school districts have to take illegal alien students, whether they like it or not. But you really see it at the work site because, you know, there's a lot of crooked employers, sure. There's no question about that. They know they're hiring illegals. They're winking. They may even be helping, obtain fake documents, that kind of thing. But most employers aren't like that. Most employers, even most employers who have illegal alien workers, aren't trying to break the law. It's just that they're kind of, you know, they got to work with what they got. And it turns out that making their lives harder is that federal law prohibits employers from examining or inquiring too closely about your documents you're showing when you get hired. So if you're an immigrant and you don't speak a word of English, and the employer is like, well, I don't know, you know, this document you showed me, I'm not quite sure that's real. You got anything else? If you say that, Eric Holder's Justice Department is coming after you. And that's not theoretical. There's actually an entire office in the U.S. Department of Justice devoted to going after employers who try too hard in keeping illegal immigrants out of their workforce. So this is why we need not just secure IDs, but we need the E-Verify system, which is a free online system that employers can use to check whether the information their new hire is giving them is true or not, whether this guy you just hired is lying to you about his name and Social Security number or whether he's telling the truth. That tool exists now. My center has used it. We don't do a lot of hiring, but we use it for years. We've used it. The thing is that it's voluntary. So a lot of employers use it, but the ones that we need to make use it, the crooked ones especially, are the ones who obviously aren't going to use it until they have to. And that's probably the most important change, more important than adding more fencing or more Border Patrol agents, is having this E-Verify system be a universal part of the hiring process so that the legitimate employers can comply with the law, and then we know who the crooked employers are.
How devastating has it been for carpenters, brick masons, laborers in the South?
Oh, all over the place, not just the South, but, I mean, any place where you've seen a big influx in immigrant labor in general, but illegal immigrant labor in particular, you see all kinds of tradesmen and contractors in real difficulty. The tradesmen end up being, you know, having to work cheaper and cheaper, longer and longer hours, because there's just more and more competition. And what you see with contractors is that in order to survive, they end up hiring illegal aliens and looking the other way. And the ones that want to do the right thing are at a competitive disadvantage. And so, I mean, this really is, in a sense, it's not even just an economic problem, which it is. It's sort of a moral problem, too, because you have crooked employers who are able to take advantage of this, basically snickering at their sucker competitors who want to follow the law and are patriotic Americans. This is why we need the law applied evenly across the board so that legitimate patriotic employers can do the right thing, and we can then focus on who the crooked ones who are ignoring the law are.
We're essentially wiping out the American workforce.
Yeah, replacing it, you know, is what it amounts to. Or, you know, there's always going to be obviously lots of American workers, but the percentage of working age Americans who actually are working has been going down steadily now, even during economic expansions. And what we found in doing research both for the whole country and then also looked at a bunch of key states is that most or all of the employment growth over the past decade and a half has gone to immigrants. This doesn't mean Americans haven't gotten jobs. Americans get jobs and lose jobs. Immigrants get jobs and lose jobs. But when you add all of that out and, you know, sort of net it out for where the employment growth was, nationwide, all employment growth over the past 15 years has gone to immigrants, all of it, which means there's fewer native-born working-age Americans working today than there were in 2000. Even though the growth in the working age population mostly comes from native born people, you know, your kids, and they age into the labor market, they're not finding work. They're essentially being replaced by immigrant workers.
More coming up with Mark Corian, CIS.org, Center for Immigration Studies. Coming up, we'll talk about the push to stop amnesty. In addition to that, what about guest workers that are skilled? Do you buy the fact that, well, we don't have enough?
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, everybody. Kay Melly in the morning. Thank you all for listening. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. And please tell a friend. We need to continue to grow this program. If you want a live local voice in the Treasure Valley, folks, give us some suggestions. Tell us what to do. We want to be there for you. We appreciate it. Joining us now, Mark Kerkorian, Center for Immigration Studies. What about this issue involving what about this issue involving the amnesty push? How is that going to impact us?
Well, the what's happening here? The president has said that by the end of the year, he's going to unilaterally amnesty millions of illegal aliens going around Congress because he doesn't like the decision Congress has come to, so he's just going to do it himself. I mean, this is a serious constitutional challenge. I mean, really is a kind of, if he gets away with it, this is sort of this is a fundamental change in the way our government works. And if the Republicans stand up to him, you know, you've got the possibility of a of another so-called government shutdown, depending on how it plays out, because the only tool Congress has to stop the president, really, is the power of the purse, is to deny money for him to do this amnesty program, because impeaching him is off the table. It's just not going to happen. And so the only tool available is shutting off the money and saying you may not spend any money to do this amnesty program, however they would word the thing. The problem is he wouldn't sign a bill like that, and it would have to be legislation, and so basically they'd be involved in a game of chicken. And the stakes are much higher than they were last time there was a government shutdown. I kind of wish they'd not done that and kept their powder dry for this, because this is much more important. If the president gets away with this, what essentially the precedent he will have established is that the president of the United States can do anything he wants in immigration. He can admit an unlimited number of people from abroad and give them work visas, social security numbers, driver's licenses, all the rest of it, whether Congress likes it or not. I mean, it really is breathtaking and important far beyond just the consequences for immigration.
580KIDO, why in the world would the president do this, considering the consequences? I guess he just doesn't fear anyone, and he believes the press will protect him?
Yeah, I mean, well, what's Congress going to do? I mean, that's the thing. First of all, the election's over. This is why he specifically delayed it and angered many of his own, really strident supporters who wanted him to do this before the election, this unilateral executive amnesty. But at least, you know, some of the people in the White House said, look, this is people really don't like this. And, you know, we're not going to do well in November, but we're going to get annihilated if you do this before the election. And if he had done it, it would have been a lot worse for the Democrats. I mean, they would have lost many more House seats. They would have almost certainly several more Republican senators, senatorial candidates would have won. So he put it off because he knows people hate this. The point, though, is that once the election is over, he's never going to be up for election again. He figures he's basically daring Congress to try to stop him. And my concern is that with the current crop of leadership, the kind of spineless guys who are running the House and will be running the Senate once the Republicans take over in January, that might be a good bet on the part of Obama. And he's also figuring, once I give these people work cards, social security numbers, driver's licenses, no future Republican president's going to take it away anyway, even though supposedly it's temporary. It's just politically not realistic to think after somebody's been essentially a legal worker for a couple of years that, you know, Congress is going to put – that somebody's going to pull the plug on that. So the thing is, it has to be stopped up front. And he'll announce it in December sometime, and Congress comes back in January. So basically he won't have been able to actually carry through anything before Congress gets back. And the question is, will they act to stop him or not? And, you know, that remains to be seen, but I'm not optimistic.
Mark Kerkorian, Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. We always appreciate it. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Bye now.
Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up, the Manly Man segment. You can always follow me on Twitter, Kevin Miller Show, Facebook, Kevin Miller Show. We're doing something a little different, a little brand separation there. Check that out. Like me, friend me, and we'll have a great time together, whether in real life or online. And they're all the same, right? You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Good morning, 580 KIDO from Boise High School. Kevin Miller in the morning, Cap Ed Credit Union, along with Hotel Ryan. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I forgot my Twitter etiquette, and I should have included Hotel Ryan in our tweet. We will do that. Good morning, Dave.
There is etiquette to Twitter?
I suppose. You know, I'm still, unfortunately, trying to learn what to tweet, when to tweet, who to tweet, how to tweet, 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 tweet.
Hashtags.
And that's all.
All that stuff.
Yeah, and that's all. And that's all before I try and jump on Instagram, because that's still the in thing. And it's the in thing a couple years ago, and I go, well, it'll be out by the time I'm into it, and it's still in, apparently, with the young folks.
Yeah, you got the Vine, Instagram. It's like, oh, my goodness. By the time I figure something out, it's something else.
Yeah, isn't that the case with everything in life?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so you being our, well, I can't say you're our weather guy, because I'd like to. Because we were talking about alternative careers yesterday.
Well, actually, I've been dealing a lot with it this morning already. I do reports for Twin Falls, and they're getting hammered right now down that area, and it's pushing into the Treasure Valley, almost into the Nampa area right now.
I don't see any around here.
You just keep singing that song. Okay, as a responsibility to our listeners of this morning show, be prepared. By the time you hit the morning drive, you will have snow down. But ITD and ACHD, they have done a good job of prepping the roads and everything overnight.
Right. So let's get back to the theme of this show, which is Kevin Miller's opinion at 580 KIDO.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That is the theme of this show, isn't it?
Yeah. So let me get back to my opinion here. You know, all the time everybody talks about it's going to snow and everything else, and you just got to wonder. It's November sweeps, the hype, and more often than not, and the people that listen to this program know that it's true, it never pans out. Now, if it does happen, hopefully the Department of Transportation will be ready. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. I know they don't like it when I say, gee, it's 3 a.m. and I haven't seen a salt truck. But this show is about opinion, and that's what opinions are. Some people like them, some people don't. And then, you know, it's just like rain. As you know, Dave Burnett, I love the rain. You do not like the rain. And every time Larry Gebert says, I love the rain, I love the rain, or it's going to rain, half the time or 70% of the time it doesn't. It just must be a very challenging place to call the weather. And you always say it's the valley here in the mountains. I mean, if it snows, I hope that it does, but, you know, and it's tough for these people because they get prepared for it, and then it doesn't happen.
Just got a text in. It is snowing south of Nampa, moving our direction. So I'm just telling you, just in responsibility to those who are listening, planning on traveling today, be aware of the fact you will have winter driving conditions throughout the day today, so just be prepared for that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is it going to be a heavy snow? Is it going to be a dusting?
No, I think looking at the radar map, which is right in front of me right now, I feel like a weather guy. But looking at it and having watched these for a long time in this area, I think we're going to get a little bit of snow out of this.
Well, again, is it a little or is it a lot? That's, I think, the big key. And you would agree or disagree that a lot of people hype this up, get people fired up, and then all of a sudden they get mad because there was no big event.
Well, I think, again, one of the things you have to deal with, and I think every... What's that?
No, I'm getting my other thought. Then again, you know, on the roads and stuff, it just makes it slick, and it's just you know, it's always that first snow or that first rain where people don't know how to drive to.
Yeah, you kind of forget, and that's why I'm trying to give just a heads up for people give a little extra time this morning, because you're looking at within the next hour you'll start seeing snow into the Treasure Valley. So
I'm surprised they didn't try and cancel school.
Why is that?
Well, it was going to snow. It was going to be a big deal.
No, we're not wimps like, you know, West Coast cities.
But getting back to the first snowfall of the year here at 580KIDO, there are always people that, you know, you have two extremes. Some don't understand that it takes extra time, and then you have others that think they have the four-wheelers or what have you, and they just go crazy, and then they end up in the ditch.
Yep, that is what happens. The other thing to be aware of with the weather when it goes, you said it was going to rain. Well, you might be in Star and it doesn't rain. You might be in downtown Boise and it rains. So, you know, it's tough to forecast and say, here's what's going to happen for everyone.
Well, we'll see if it gets to Boise here.
Ray, mark this tape where Kevin was blah, blah, blahing about it's not going to happen. We'll replay this tomorrow.
Sure.
How's that working out? That works out good. You're at Boise High School, though.
I'm just proving your point where you just said it rains in Star, but it doesn't rain in Boise. It might snow in Star, not snow here.
I'm just saying the whole Treasure Valley will get some snow today, maybe an inch of snow.
An inch?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, we'll be monitoring here at the Weather Center.
Okay. You're at Boise High School, though.
I am. I am indeed. Our final school of the fall edition of Promoting Our School, Securing Our Future, thanks to our folks at CapEd Credit Union. Of course, a couple things going on. Coming up next week, we'll be at Walmart on Garrity and Franklin. Looking forward to having so many people come out. And by the way, if my friend Randy is listening, let me see, I got to write this note down correctly, with the Ghost Mountain Riders. Now, Randy, because I don't know how to get a hold of you, you gave me your card, but you didn't give me your phone number. Either send me an email or we don't start till Monday and it goes till Saturday. Now, last year, you guys brought, I think, 15 to 20 turkeys, and it was an amazing experience. And, yes, Randy, you did teach me a lesson about motorcycle bikes and motorcycle clubs, and not everybody is the Sons of Anarchy. And we had that great picture at 580kido.com. But Randy has promised to bring even more turkeys. He talked to our friend Jane at the front desk. But, Randy, we won't be there Sunday, so we're going to have to give you that public service announcement throughout the day. But here I am at the Walmart there on Fairview, and all of a sudden 10 to 15 to 20 bikers show up. They all go into Walmart and buy turkeys. Everybody was scared. I had a hoodie on. It was a great day.
That would be a good day.
It was a great day where we, you know, I had this misconception about people in motorcycle clubs, and Randy had a couple words for Sheriff Rainey, and he said, hey, where's your buddies from law enforcement? And I said, you got a point there, Randy. You got a point. So it'd be nice if some folks from law enforcement, the fire department, everybody would donate a turkey. The Boise Rescue Mission needs about 5,000 turkeys. We'll do our very best. We'll be collecting other items and cash donations as well. And why not kick off the holiday season with a turkey for a family that needs it the most?
That'll be going well. Or if you can't bring a turkey, come bring a cash donation.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Last time there was a guy that showed up and pulled out a lot of money and said, this is for Bill Roscoe and his people. And it was just amazing. And, you know, as we know, Dave, and you've covered this and I've covered this at 580KIDO for quite some time, it's not like the economy is booming here. I mean, some people may say it is, but, you know, I don't see that. Do you?
I still come back, and I have said this for quite some time now. I come back to the disposable income factor. Yeah. That a lot of those people that have had cutbacks, they had pay cuts, they had their salaries chopped, they had jobs chopped off. They have since adjusted. They've gotten rid of cable. They've downgraded. They don't go to move. They don't have the They don't have the money in their pocket just to go out and spend. So it's tough. You have to make decisions.
Well, another decision going on, and we'll get to this. The president looking at amnesty next week. 4.5 million people can stay. That would be nice, of course. Already, you're going to have this big showdown in Congress. And getting back to the jobs and the amnesty, I mean, why can't we just come up with a program instead of just throwing our money away where you start rebuilding the highways, you know, the big infrastructure. That there hasn't been any major renovations to the highway system since Eisenhower put it in the 50s.
Well, see, that's something that I thought at one point, remember the term shovel-ready jobs and there's all the infrastructure?
Yes.
Where'd those go?
Yes, sir, you are correct about that. You are correct about the shovel-ready. Yes. And unfortunately, you know, that got blown up because of health exchange. Now, in all seriousness here at 580KIDO, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and gee, that never happens, does it?
I'm ready.
Okay. You know, can we go over some winter weather driving tips?
If you want to return to that, yes.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, not everybody is as cynical as I am. So, again, for people that all of a sudden they see the snow on their windshield, they see, you know, a little slickness, what would be some good preventative measures?
Well, number one, just to be aware of your vehicle. Be aware of the fact of what it can and cannot do. Again, as you mentioned, you know, you may have four-wheel drive, makes you go fast, doesn't make you stop fast. So give some extra stopping space. Need to make sure your wiper blades are in good condition because you may be cranking those over and suddenly it's not clearing snow off of the windshield. So that becomes a problem. So just be aware of the fact that you may have some bad driving conditions. Now, if you're traveling to the mountains, you want to make sure that you pack a kit that's there. A couple of things to do, especially as you get into real heavy snow in the wintertime. Make sure that you have a kit that includes a blanket, some extra food, you know, candy bars, that kind of stuff that would store and keep in the cold. Might also throw a candle in there and some matches so that if you get stranded in the snowbank, you can use a candle to heat the inside of the car. But always crack the window so you don't burn up all the oxygen. Not crack as in hit it with a hammer, but open just a bit. But more than anything, give a little extra space. Know the limitations of your car. The biggest frightening thing, I think, for snow driving is those people who have kids who are 16, 17 years old who have never driven in the snow before, their first shot at it going to school. Yeah, it's always a little scary for those folks to let the teens go into snow for the first time. But just know the limitations of your car.
Or you could just stay at home.
Well, some people have jobs to go to.
They do, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a day off, snow day. I know, you know, there's some people here at the library that want to take the day off already.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. Schools aren't going to close because of the amount of snow we get today. That's not going to happen.
You know, and then I'll always maintain that that safe driving distance as well.
Yep, that is key.
And the other challenge is if you haven't fixed your wiper blades, I guess you just dry them off before you go. But, you know, you always wait till the last minute. Do you do that with your window wipers?
Unfortunately, yeah, I do. It's like, oh, look at that. It's not working right. Okay.
Then you get the, it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Yeah, if I duck my head down, I can see.
Exactly.
Not that anyone else has ever done that.
So we've got that going on here at 580KIDO. We have Harry Reid talking about the midterms. We have the snow teams out ready to go. A very touching funeral yesterday for one of the pilots who lost their life at Eagle Christian Church. Another one will be tomorrow. And it really, here we are, the holidays, getting ready for it. And you have a family that that has lost their father, their husband, and the military community and the greater Treasure Valley community, losing someone who has meant so much to them.
Yeah, a huge sacrifice. And again, and I know it's almost cliche to some people, but the price of freedom is not free.
Indeed, indeed. And again, most people think, well, you know, training, it's no big deal. It's amazing when you think of just the Air Force, the Army, and what they do. And they do so just going in from, how do you put this, going in from like, you know, Kuwait to Iraq or to Afghanistan day in and day out. It's a dangerous operation, and we're not even talking about the mechanical things. I mean, we make the extraordinary seem ordinary with the military.
Yep, and they're to be honored. They are to be honored for their service, what they do, and for the family. And that's where, you know, you continue to support the family, this family that has lost a loved one, continue to support them, not just after the services, but throughout the rest of the year and from there out. Kevin, need to do this. Your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County. Snow beginning to push in into the Ontario.
580 KIDO, live from Boise High School. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.